The following programming is sponsored by Don Beischel. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist.
And welcome back to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Don Beischel Jr. and we're here along with my good friend and co-host, Gary Heasley. We had a great first hour. The first half hour, we were talking to State Senator Doug Mastriano. And then on the 12:30 hour, we were speaking to Loman Henry, who runs and organizes the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference. And again, as I told you folks, if you haven't been there, you need to get there. I mean, it's a ton of information, great networking. He just announced that Vivek's going to be there as one of the guest speakers, along with Dinesh D'Souza. It's, you know, for the price and for the three days of events, you can't beat it. $135. I mean, you know, good Lord. You're getting dinner, breakfast, and lunch. You know, so just be there. It's great to see. So this hour, one of our sponsors is Salvatore's Cucina. Salvatore's is a BYOB fine Italian dining establishment. It's at 1150 Bristol Oxford Valley Road, Levittown, PA, 19057. Sal's number is 215-547-7000. Look, if you like good Italian food, go there. My wife and I, Joan, took Senator Mastriano and his wife, Rebbe, there when he was in Bucks County. Sal kept the place open for us at night. It was a great time. My granddaughter was there with Doug. She loves Doug. We had a great time. Sal let us host a couple petition signing events at his place. So one of the things we like to do is support the businesses that support the conservative movement, support President Trump. And, you know, obviously we're supporting Doug Mastriano. one of the things we spoke about with Senator Mastriano was he made public the bribe attempt by Jeffrey Yass to get Doug to denounce President Trump. And in exchange for that denouncement, the Yass PAC was going to give Doug $10 million for his gubernatorial campaign. I guess he didn't realize that Doug Mastriano happens to be a man of integrity and honor and stands by his friends, and he considers President Trump one of his friends. He got to meet President Trump up at Trump Tower. President Trump had him up there to meet with him and his wife, Rebbe. President Trump, in fact, endorsed Doug for governor. So one thing Doug Mastriano does not do is turn on his friends. Another person that doesn't turn on his friends is our next guest, a friend of mine. We've had him on the show before, Jim Worthington. Jim has been a Trump delegate in 2016, 2020. He was on the president's physical fitness council. He goes to Mar-a-Lago to speak with the president. He raises money for the president. He's involved with the campaign. Jim has been with the president since the very beginning. He hosted him, had his place, the Newtown Athletic Center. And look, hey, if you're looking for a place to join up and go to, Jim has the premier athletic center in, well, he'll say the country, I'll say the world, because, you know, I'm on radio and I can expand like that. So if you want to do that, you know, you can, you know, check him out. It's the phone number there is 267-310-3427. It's at 120 Pheasant Run, Newtown, Pennsylvania, 18940. It's the Newtown Athletic Center. You know, and before we bring Jim on, I want people to realize this. Jim took a lot of heat for supporting the president. He lost a lot of business. People ridiculed him. But he didn't sit still. And he defended himself in court and got an apology. He got an apology from a congressional candidate and some other folks as well. You know, so one of the things we have to do as conservatives when we're supporting President Trump or any other candidate that we're supporting, don't let them silence you. Okay, so I asked Jim to come on because he's going to be one of the delegates again for President Trump, and I think it was important for people to realize what a delegate does. And we're going to get into some other Trump stuff and stuff like that. But you know, Jim, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Thank you for being one of the most earliest supporters of President Trump. You put it on the line when other people wouldn't. cost you a lot of money, but you did it anyway. And I'm thankful for that. A lot of us are thankful for that. So, again, first I want to just say welcome.
Thanks, Don. It's great to be on, and appreciate the kind words.
So one of the things I wanted to have you come on to talk about, and before we get into any of the things with the campaign and President Trump and fundraising and all that jazz like that, a lot of people don't realize what you do as a delegate. You know, and I wanted you to come on and kind of explain to people what's involved with being a delegate at a convention.
Well, I mean, first of all, there's a process of how you become one. So you have to run on the ticket in the primary. And ironically, in 2016, I was ran as an unendorsed Republican candidate. So there was three endorsed candidates by the Bucks County or GOP, and then three other folks, me being one of them, Barry Casper, and I forget the name of the other guy because he didn't win. We ran as the unendorsed candidates. I was endorsed by the Trump team, but I was the only one, I think, in Pennsylvania that made it clear that I would vote at the Republican convention for whoever, as a delegate for whoever won Bucks County. Now, I was pretty sure Trump was going to win, but if you go back to 16, Don, you may remember there was overtures that no matter what the voters of Bucks County, or at that time the congressional 8th, did, whoever they voted for, whether it would be Trump or otherwise, that the GOP was leaning towards endorsing John Kasich even if he didn't win. That
yes.
was the rumblings.
Yep.
Right. So I ran on a plan. In fact, I took out newspapers ads and all that. And I said, whoever the I'm a Trump supporter, but whoever the congressional 8th voters, Bucks County voters decided on, I would cast my ballot for them at the convention in Ohio. So that's kind of what happened. I ended up getting there was 8 of us at that time. It was 5. That's right. There was 5 unendorsed and three endorsed. And I ended up getting the most votes, like 50,000. And I think Rob Lockery, who was the county commissioner, got like 38,000. And then Barry Casper was the next one who was unendorsed. So 2 of the 3. And that's kind of where we started our whole thing with People for Trump and
right.
all that, because we were kind of the outsiders. we weren't exactly, not that we weren't favorites of the GOP, but we weren't part of the quote that crowd at the time. So
you weren't in the country club.
No, we weren't in the country club. Honestly, I don't think we still are in some respects. We are. We got 1 foot in and 1 foot out because we always seem to do our own thing, and we like to think that we work in conjunction with not only the GOP but even the group Bucks. Andy Mann's group. What's
Right for Bucks, Bucks First.
For Bucks. I feel like we all kind of have the same, in a different way, the same goal, but we get there differently. So, in fact, I got to tell you this time, I'm actually endorsed by the GOP, which I appreciate. So I am an endorsed candidate, but the Bucks group, that group also endorsed me. So, and they have their two on. So they got 2 unendorsed and me, and then we got the 2 endorsed and me on the other side. So I'm lucky I'm endorsed by both groups. but you gotta win an election. So the top 3 vote getters in the primary out of the 6 will become the delegates. And then you're assigned to whoever. At that point, you're assigned to whoever wins the primary, which, of course, the President Trump's unopposed. So he'll be our candidate. He's already our candidate. He's got enough delegates. You need 1,200 and some, and he's already passed that. So you go there to the convention, and then, in 16, there was the chance of a floor fight. It didn't materialize. So that was a little bit exciting, but this time it's everybody's 100% behind the president. So you go there and it's 3 days in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There's you bring in guest speakers and people to breakfasts and stuff like that that will talk to the Pennsylvania delegation, and everybody will get fired up, and we'll hear speakers. You know, we'll go at night from like 6 to 11, and it's most of it's televised. And, you know, you hear people that will get up in support of the president and our party, and you'll hear what the party platform is. And at the end of the day, at the end of the week, the last night or so, the president will come on and make an acceptance speech, and they'll drop the balloons, and everybody will go crazy, and it gives you momentum going off into the – into the, you know, because it's in the summer, it's July, it gives you momentum through the summer into the fall when, you know, everything's, but this election, you know, typically it heats up after the fall, but I think it's already heating up, to be honest with you.
So how's the, so going back, you know, I don't want to dwell too much on the past because obviously we're going forward, but I think it's interesting for people to to understand that back in 2016, President Trump didn't have the quote unquote popularity within the party that he has now. He had the popularity with the grassroots and the people that voted for him, obviously. But as you said, there was rumblings back then on the John Kasich, the Jeb Bush, you know. In other words, you said there was going to be a floor fight, and I've spoken to other Trump delegates, Bunny Welsh and so forth and so on. And this was a real possibility that this was going to happen. It was a big movement here in Bucks County. That was one of the big things here in Bucks County that probably started the internal civil war here in Bucks County, was the party's lack of enthusiasm for President Trump, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, it's sad to say this, but it was the party itself, not the whole party, but certain faction of the party, the Rhino part of the party that never accepted Trump. And that was the beginning of the start of the going after him. People think it was during the campaign when he was running against Hillary. It actually started in the primary.
Yes.
And then those people continue to go after Trump. Our own team continued to go after him even after he got the nomination. And when we were on the floor of the convention, believe me, there was rumbling throughout it that I remember Mike Lee from Utah was making his pitch, and he was part of maybe the group that was going to try to take him down. And there was a lot of, you know, even there, you still were on edge, and you were getting instructions how we had to, you know, hold firm and not change their vote or be swayed to change your vote, which I was never going to do anyway, but other people. So, I mean, it was, you know, at the end he did, you know, obviously got the nomination and it was talked about, but it was more serious, I think, than people really realized that it went right up into the convention that there was this animosity from the Never Trumpers. Then that's when the Never Trumpers started, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one of the things I tell people is that, you know, Little Bucks County, as I like to call it, and at the time, you know, we could say Little Jim Worthington and the Little Newtown Athletic Center, you had President Trump at your place. And, you know, of course, you probably couldn't do it now because I don't think you can hold 30,000 people. But at that time, you filled that room with people for President Trump. And I think this is when I mean, I know you probably knew you had the right guy, but you really, this is when you found out that you had the right guy, because he agreed to meet with you to speak about something that's near and dear to your heart, the Right to Try bill. And that's when you knew you had the right guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, now remember, I did want to clear one thing up. We've never hosted him at the Newtown Athletic Club.
At the sport, yeah.
Yeah, so I own an adjacent business to the Newtown Athletic Club, which is a Newtown Sports Training Center. It got me into a lot of problems, not only then, but even after January 6th, because people boycotted the Newtown Athletic Club, saying that, you know, I hosted them and I did this and, you know, all these crazy things, and they boycotted this business. And I'm there like, well, when I, after I hosted them, I think I lost like 60 members within 2 days, which for us is a couple, almost $250,000 worth of business, because that's, you know, based on the fee they pay. So I had like 60 people, and I'm there like, wait a minute, I didn't host them there. I was a business next door that I hosted them. But that being said, there was a couple of reasons I ran for delegate. One was that I wanted to honor my dad. He was loved politics. I thought it would be good to get involved in it. And we also were trying to get a bill passed called the Right to Try that allowed people with terminal illness the right to access FDA phase one experimental drugs. So real quick, up until this bill got passed in 2018, if you had cancer or ALS, which was really what motivated me to get involved, and a friend of mine had it, Matt Bellina, you'd have to leave the country to get an experimental drug. So you go to Mexico, China, and in this case, you go to Israel because there's a good ALS drug there. And my friend Matt Bellina, we were talking in 2016, because you live with ALS for 3 to 5 years, and he had had it for a number of years. And I said, Matt, what do you want me to do? You want to go to Israel to try this drug? He said, no, there's this bill called the Right to Try. This was like the end of 2015. If we could get it passed, I don't have to leave the U.S. So that was the second part of why I ran, because I said, okay, we're going to get behind a horse that we think that can win, which was President Trump. And then he did win. He won the primary. And then we made it clear that if any time that they needed to come to Pennsylvania, we could host them in our field house, which would hold 4,000 inside and 4,000 to 5,000 inside. And lo and behold, a Wednesday, I guess it was a week and a half before the election day, 2 weeks before, really, on that Wednesday, I get a call saying, do you want to host them on Friday? I said, yeah, under the guise that we get 20 minutes with them to talk to them about the Right to Try. And they agreed, because they had no choice. I wasn't going to host them otherwise. So they agreed. And so we got a half an hour with them before the rally. And myself and Matt Bellina, who's like this unbelievable Navy pilot that, you know, is 30 years old, couldn't fly anymore, and was in a wheelchair with ALS, and, you know, met with them, and Linda Mitchell, who's, you know, my 40-year employee that does all my advocacy with me, and we got to meet them, and it was very impressive. And I told you this story before, I think, on the air with you, Don. The thing that put me over the top is we explained about the Right to Try. I really didn't know anything about it, how important it was, you know, how, you know, Americans had to travel out of the country, so on and so forth, and it wasn't right, and why couldn't we access this stuff here? And we got to the end of the conversation, and he was pretty convinced, and Matt Bellina, we got, you know, we're wrapping it up, but you kind of don't know how to close it out with, remember, he's still, you know, candidate Trump, but he's, you know, a very successful guy, billionaire, you know, cheap apprentice. I mean, very, you know, right, impressive guy. And Matt looks up from his wheelchair and says, Mr. Trump, I do want to tell you that this will poll well, too. In other words, you know, you're going to get votes from this. And I'll never forget the president. He's a big dude. Stuck his finger down and pointed at Matt, not in a way to intimidate him, but to let him know that he said, you know, Matt, you know, I'm not doing that for that reason. It's what's right for Americans in America. He says that's my reason doing it. And he was, and you could tell, as sincere as you could be. And by the way, and you know, if it was one encounter with him and I never talked to him again, you'd say, okay, you know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I've talked to President Trump a gazillion times. I'm a member at Mar-a-Lago. I see him. I talk to him. You know, I communicate with him. I'm in meetings with him. You could tell he doesn't say anything. He isn't pretty much sincere. And so the next day he goes to Gettysburg and his 100 days, when he talked about his first 100 days in office, what he was going to do, one of the first things he said, he was going to pass the Right to Try. So in 2018, he did so. And now people that have terminal illness that, you know, where a doctor says, well, go home and pack up your stuff and just, you know, live out the last few months, you can say to your doctor, look, I'm not ready to give up hope. I want to try this drug that, you know, was approved by the FDA one, hasn't been totally approved yet, to give me hope, to give me an opportunity to try to save my life or prolong it. So that's when I was really sold on the guy in you know, at my club. In fact, I'm looking at he signed the wall unbeknownst to me that day in where the holding area was. and my son, it's a huge signature, and my son cut it out like 2 years ago. He says, you don't want that on the wall there. Somebody might mess it up. And he cut it out, and I'm looking at it right now in my office.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know that side of President Trump. They only know what they hear in the mainstream media. We had a good opportunity at an event that I hosted back in 2019, I think it was, or 18, I can't remember, where we had Bunny Welsh speaking, and Bunny has met with President Trump many times. And she was telling some stories, that how personable he is, you know, and that you always know that when he's talking to you, he's telling you the truth. In other words, he's not just giving you a song and dance because that's what you want to hear. And I think she's not the first person. You're not the first person. I've heard this from many people that have spoken to him, that you're getting exactly how he feels about something and not just something that he thinks you might want to hear.
Yeah, I agree. And when you speak to him, there could be 100 people in the room, and if he's speaking to you, you have his undivided attention. He's not this guy talking to you, looking around the room, looking for the next person and just bypassing you. He really takes an interest in your conversation. Now, it might be 30 seconds long because he's the president. He's got to get around to everybody. But very sincere, and I can tell you a real quick story. It was really a year ago this past yesterday that I was in. I had hosted an event in Mar-a-Lago for a lot of the big supporters of what I do and what Linda does here, to, you know, and not just to help people like President Trump, but different candidates that we get behind and so on and so forth. So I do like a little retreat at Mar-a-Lago. So I invite like 30, 40 of our supporters down there. We host them to 3 or 4 days, and I do a dinner for them one night. Well, the one night I'm doing a dinner in the White and Gold Room, I had told the president's scheduler, hey, if he gets a chance, stop by before dinner, because he goes upstairs on the patio at Mar-a-Lago to eat dinner. We were starting about 7 o'clock, and he always eats at 8 o'clock. So prior to that, I had told one of the people to let him know that my daughter-in-law had cancer. Her name's Morgan, my son's wife. So he had cancer, and they had suggested, well, give the phone number to give the daughter-in-law the phone number to the president, and he'll give her a call. This was a couple weeks before. I said, okay. So I did, and you know, we were down there, and she was going to go with my son to this event, but she had to go to Mayo Clinic like 2 days after. So I shipped them out to Minnesota to get starter treatments because it was pretty bad. It still is bad, but it was pretty bad. So my dinner starts, and the Secret Service guy calls me on the phone. The guy Walt, you probably heard of him in the news. Walt Nauta. He's the guy, one of the guys that they claim with a document case. But anyway, he calls me up and says, "Look, the president's going to come down in a few minutes. Can you come out and talk to him outside before he comes into your event?" I said, sure. So I went out with my wife Kim, and we met the president. And as soon as we say hello, and he said, "You know what? I forgot to call your daughter-in-law. What's her number again?" And I said, "Well, here, let me put you on the phone." No, put it. Give me the number. I'll put it in my phone. Put it in the phone. Makes a call. Calls her for like 5 minutes. Now, I had told my son, I said, look for these 4 digits in his cell phone number. I can't tell you over the phone.
Right.
What they are. Or if you see Restricted or Palm Beach, make sure you answer it and film it. Well, he sees it and he says, "Morgan, I think it's the president." He gives Morgan answers the phone, and he filmed it. And it's like 5 minutes on the phone. It would make you, a grown man would cry watching it. And we actually had the video. His Secret Service guy videoed Kim and I watching him on the phone. So we have both ends of it. You would have thought, you know, that they were lifelong friends. He made her feel so good. This is 2 days before she went to Mayo Clinic to get an operation for serious cancer. So, I mean, that's a story about him that people just don't hear these things. And then right. I did an event for him in this past fall in the Union League up in golf course up in Lafayette Hills, 300, 400 people. He comes out, the first thing he goes, well, there's Morgan, and it was great to see. You know, he talked about her for 5 minutes before he even started his speech. I mean, by the way, this guy sees gazillions of people every day. For him just to remember my daughter-in-law like that, it's just, he's just got such a good heart. It's just such a shame that people characterize him the way they do, because you're not that guy.
And that, the thing is that the mainstream media has this, for lack of a better word, vendetta against him. And the thing was, before he got into politics, he was the darling of all of them. They all wanted to be his buddy. They all wanted to be his friend. Now, granted, they probably all wanted his money, you know, which is probably what their real reason is, which tells you the character of some of these. I won't use the word on the air, but anyway.
he brought him clicks and views before.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
yeah.
He's a threat to their way of business.
Well, you know, it's funny too. And I got 500 people that work at this one health club I got. And, you know, one of the things when I go to somewhere, I always ask, you know, whether it's a resort or a hotel or a restaurant, you know, if you're there for any length of time, you try to find out what the employees think of the people that own it, because it tells you a lot about the business. So, ironically, when you're at Mar-a-Lago there, you know, the work staff is like a third work visa and the rest are minority black. And I get such a kick out of saying that the President Trump hates immigrants and he's a racist, because you go and talk to the work visa people and they're from Poland, Russia, you know, all over, you know, South America. We love President Trump. We left countries to get away from this. I can't believe that this is now happening to us in America, because we came here to work to get away from that kind of stuff. And here's the country's moving more towards that. And he's our hero. And then you talk to the black employees, you know, they all call him affectionately the boss. I said, what do you think of President Trump? We love the boss. The boss is the best. The boss is so kind. The boss is so generous. I mean, it's just, and then you hear that he's racist. You just shake your head. And these are people that have worked for him 20, 25, 30 years.
Well,
it's crazy.
He was never racist, Jim, until he got into politics. I mean, let's face facts. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
And you know that they'll paint him, however, that, you know, whatever is there to their advantage is how they'll paint him. And that's the thing that, you know, the whole thing just sometimes just cracks me up. You know, when you hear this baloney, you know.
It is sad. It is very sad.
So, Jim,
but I will tell you, I will give you a little breaking news. If people are interested, they can get a hold of me through you. There's a good chance I'll be doing something here in the short term, probably the next 6 weeks, where I'll be hosting a fundraiser again for him somewhere in this area. So if anybody is in the Bucks, you know, general Montgomery County area, if people are interested, you know, one of the things I've done for the president for the last 8 months is just raise a substantial amount of money for his campaign. I mean, that's all you could have done in the short term. And that's what I've done. And that's what we've done. And we're going to have another fundraiser for him. It's usually 300-400 people. So if anybody's interested, just reach out. You can get me on Facebook, or my phone number is 267-972-3637. They could call me, text me, whatever. But, you know, if anybody's interested in supporting the president financially at an event, it will be phenomenal. I mean, if you've ever been to one of rallies are amazing, but if you've ever been to one of his fundraisers where there's 300 or 400 people, he goes unscripted. He's just the best. it's a once in a lifetime, really.
And again, if you can't get a hold of Jim, feel free to reach out to me, because I can get a hold of Jim. And I when Jim has these events, he always lets me know, and then I just pass the word around. And we always try to get the room filled up. Jim, I have a guest on the line. I know she's dying to say hello. So Bunny, you're on the air.
Oh, there you go.
There's Jim on there, and I said I cannot resist saying hi. And I heard the wonderful stories about the president. I, too, have been in circumstances and situations, I don't know if I'll take the time to tell now, where the real Donald Trump comes out, a caring individual who's attentive and very engaging when you meet him. And like Jim said, the press and people in general don't get to see that side of him. You see the rally Donald Trump, you know, pointing at the fake news and, you know, that kind of thing. But when you meet the real Donald Trump, just like Jim said, he's soft-spoken, he's engaging, he talks to you like you're the only person in the room, and Jim is just, Jim, you are phenomenal with what you are doing now for the president, with your fundraising and your enthusiasm, and I just, you are my hero, to tell you the truth.
And it's, well, you're it's kind. Good
to hear. Well, yeah, and I'm kind. Running for delegate. I'm running for delegate here in the 6th Congressional District in Chester County, and you're running there. So hopefully we'll both win our delegate races and be able to be in Milwaukee together.
I feel like this is Patriots Day. You got Don, Bunny, and you know, on the phone at the same time. I mean, this is great. By the way, there's an app you can bet on political campaigns, predict it. Bunny, if you're on predicted, I'm gonna put all my money on you winning, because you absolutely will win. You're gonna win your race. There's nobody better than you, and you've been a big supporter. And you know, it's funny, like Bunny and I started well, we first met each other in 2016 at I guess at the convention in Ohio, but we didn't get a lot of chance to talk. But you may not even remember this, Bunny. You came up here and you came up to me, and I don't remember, it was something we walked by in the hallway, and you said something like, you know, now how did you get here or something, and he walked by me, and I thought, well, what was that about? But it was so funny. It wasn't meant to be a slur or anything. It was just, well, that's the first time I met you, and then after that we saw each other at every rally and everything, and pictures together, and she's the best. You got a big heart, and you love the president.
Oh, I sure do. We saw each other also at a Christmas party at the White House.
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, we were both invited to a Christmas party, which of course is very special. And but you have just been like a rock. You're like a rock star with him. And you're right, we got to know each other. You know, Bucks in Chester County don't get together a lot, but when the person in common with both of us and the link is President Donald Trump, it doesn't take long for two big fans to hook up together.
Well, you know, interestingly, you both have been, because of your support of the president, have been the target of, let's just say, some unfair investigations. Would that be a good thing to say?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I just realized Bunny and I share the same attorney that represented us against these people.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. My last visit here at home by the FBI, you know, when you're taking a shower and you've got two guys in suits at the door and you figure, well, here we go. And the first person you want to call is our mutual attorney. And he has saved me from going to D.C. in front of the grand jury and a few other things. But you're right, Don. Those who support the president and are in his circle are attacked locally. Yeah, you realize you've got a target on your back, but I will tell you, you've got to get through it. You've got to have an attorney and get through it, but it.
Did we lose you, Bun?
Oh, no, I'm right here. And the problem is...
My mic went dead.
Did it?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, my mic is dead. Okay.
Oh, well,
okay.
Is Jim still there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Hello? I can't hear anything.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on with the sound right there. It sounds like we've lost Bunny. Good?
Now, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
I'm back, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But you're right, and there's this target on your back, and you know it, and you've got to just fight through it, because who fights better than Donald Trump with what he's going through? It's unbelievable, and I truly feel... the Lord is with him, because no man alone could stand up to all of this. Impossible.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, Bunny. I mean, I've never seen a guy who is so resilient that could just get up off the mat every day and just continue to fight back. I mean, we were down there a couple – we were down – again, this little – soiree I run every year was we're down there about a month ago, and it had the same day that he had something happened where there was some, it wasn't an indictment, but some court hearing, something. I remember seeing he went through to the front of the steps. He went through the patio where we're eating lunch. We had all just gotten there, first day. He said hello to everybody, went out the front steps of Mar-a-Lago, gave a press conference. That was at noon. At 1 o'clock, he got on a plane. He flew to Vegas, 6-7 hours. He then made a speech at like 10 o'clock that night, Eastern time, flew back, got back the next morning, was at Mar-a-Lago for 4 hours, flew up north to, I guess it was New York, for a hearing. I figured out in 34 hours he was on a plane, not on the ground, in the plane 18 hours, and he bounced back and forth. And they start talking about Joe Biden having the energy that Donald Trump does, and it's just and the ability to fight back. I mean, this guy's a warrior. I mean, he is an amazing human being. And that night, he was back at dinner on the patio at 8 o'clock at Mar-a-Lago. You would have thought, and playing his music like, you know, he's just no care in the world. Just he's an unbelievable guy, he really is.
So you know, it's funny. I say to people, you know, you never know who you're going to meet or how you're going to have a conversation with or anything like that. So I'm going to share this little story. Jim already knows about this. So. I drive Uber and Lyft when I'm not doing this and other political stuff. So I pick up this couple at the Trenton Airport. We're just talking, you know, and I try to, you know, don't say anything unless they say something. And we just start talking and, you know, and I'm, you know, and, you know, I just say, you know, the gentleman says to me, oh, I don't know where you stand on that. Well, you know, I said, I'm a big Trump supporter. All day he goes, oh, yeah. And I go, yeah. I said, you know, my friend Jim Worthington, you know, and he goes, oh, he goes, I was just down in Mar-a-Lago with Jim, and it was, and it was Joe White, you know, and then we start that, of course, then the conversation starts really flowing, you know, and we're talking about Trump, and we're talking about Doug Mastriano, and we're talking about all this stuff like that. So, you know, I say to people, I said, you know, you never know who you're going to meet and to strike up a conversation, and don't assume because somebody lives in Newtown or you know, that they're part of the woke establishment or something like that, you know, and it's easy to do, you know, but again, you have these conversations with people and then you start finding out, you know, how you have all these things in common, you know, and things of that. So I always tell people, don't be afraid to speak about what you need to speak about, but do it respectfully. And that's one thing, Jim, and you and Bunny, you're passionate about how you feel about the president and his policies, but you're also respectful when you're talking about it to people that may not totally agree with him.
Well, you're right. Yeah, I mean,
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bunny.
Well, you're no, go ahead, because Ben. We get into many conversations, and of course, anybody who knows Jim or anybody who knows me, if they really know you, they know you're a Trumpster, and they're, you know, unabashedly so. So sometimes they're cautious. But those who don't know the depth of our respect, Jim's and mine and you too, Don, if you get into an interesting conversation with them and you begin to talk about issues, this is what confuses me. You talk about a secure border, energy independence, safe streets, all of the things that not only Donald Trump provided, but would provide again. And then they say to you, but I don't like him. I don't like him as a person. It always just stuns me. And that's when, Jim, you can share the stories and I can share stories and begin to try to explain to them who is the real Donald Trump. You know, just like you said, the story. I have a quick story. If you've got time, I have a friend who lost a son to fentanyl. Back in 2017, now remember, 2017, nobody was talking about fentanyl. Nobody was talking about, I went to a border security meeting at the White House, and of course, my enemies were attacking me. What's she doing at border? She's from Pennsylvania. And at the time, we said, every state's a border state, and every town's a border town. And they mocked us. This is 2017. Well, now what are they saying? Every state's a border state, and every county's a border county. But anyway, we're there, and a friend of mine who had lost a son right here in Chester County to fentanyl, which wasn't really talked about in 2017. And I took a letter to the president that he wrote about his son, and he enclosed a beautiful picture. And I was at a round table in the Roosevelt Room, and we met. And when it came my turn, I was seated next to the president, which is always, you know, really special. And I read a portion of this letter to him about the loss of their beautiful son right here in Chester County, just, what, 40 minutes outside of Kensington. And, of course, Donald Trump knows Chester County very well. I reminded him of QVC, where, of course, his wife, he said, I'm very familiar. And I said, a beautiful county. And this young man comes home, and they find him dead in his bed of fentanyl. And after the press left, there's nobody else in the room, a few people talking. Press was out, microphones were out. The president slid that letter over, took out his Sharpie, and wrote a personal note to the mother, father, and said, I love you. Your son, he used his name, is looking down on you. God bless you. Now, nobody knew about that. He wasn't doing that for the press. He wasn't doing that for publicity. It was just the two of us. It was a father who felt the pain of another father and parents and took the time to write a personal note. And I couldn't wait to get back. I was staying at the Willard Hotel. I couldn't wait to get back and call this father. And he said, did you see him? I said, oh, yeah. And I have a personal handwritten note to you and your wife from the president of the United States. And we both burst into tears. That's
a great story.
Well, it is. And yeah. You know, when you sit there and you hear people say that this person is a bad person, that they're mean or racist or whatever the case may be. In the 12 o'clock hour when we had State Senator Doug Mastriano on, I told a similar story of him and Lou Barletta. We were at the Southeast PA conference, and a lot of people don't know this, but Lou's grandson suffers from a severe medical situation. And so in the hallway, Doug and his wife, Rebbie, and Lou put their arms around each other and prayed for Lou's grandson. Here's two political rivals, because this was before the primary at the Southeast PA caucus, and they prayed for Lou's grandson. No press, nobody around. And when I asked Doug about it, he said to me, you know, now it's 2 years later, so it doesn't, you know, he doesn't care. But at the time he said, you know, don't tell anybody about this. This is a private moment. We don't need the press, you know, whatever, with Lou's grandson and stuff like that. These are the people that we're ridiculing. We're ridiculing Donald Trump. You know, you don't know him. You haven't met him. You haven't had a personal interaction with him. You're listening to MSNBC and CNN telling you that he's a bad person, that he's a homophobe and he's racist. You know, you're listening to these people say that Doug Mastriano is anti-Semitic and stuff like that. None of that is true. You know,
imagine being anti-Semitic and your daughter's married to a Jewish guy.
Right.
So none of it makes sense.
Right. No, exactly. You know,
yeah, none of it makes sense.
And you have Jewish grandchildren. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. It's, you know, or your son-in-law, you know, negotiates probably the biggest peace treaty in the history of the Middle East. With the Abraham Accords, you know, but
he gets no credit.
Yeah, but you're anti-Semitic, you know. Yeah, it just cracks me up, this stuff that they come up with, and people buy it. That's the real crime. People buy it.
And it's
that's the only news they get. I mean, they just get it pounded into their head. And when you don't hear the other side, I mean, they're not. By the way, every one of these great stories that you and Bunny have told today, they'll never hear these. They're not listening right now. And if one of their neighbors is listening would go and tell one of them, they wouldn't even want to hear it. They'd block you out. They wouldn't even take the time to listen. Most people. It's a shame. And jump on to what Bunny said earlier. Yeah, we're huge supporters of President Trump. You know, I know you are as well, Don. But I will tell you, diversity of other people's opinions is something is an American right, and I will never put somebody down that disagrees with me or that they're a big President Biden supporter. That's their right to do that. Now, I may have a nice conversation telling them why I support President Trump, and they should look at those facts. But I'm never going to disparage somebody for voting for President Biden. That doesn't do any good. You know, that doesn't win them over. It's telling them that they're, and that's what they do to us. So I right. would never want to do that to anybody else.
Well, it's the same thing. The conversation I have, you know, and Jim, you and I are familiar with this, that in our district, there's a lot of people that, you know, have a hatred towards our Congressman, Brian Fitzpatrick. And I say to people, I don't hate Brian. I don't. I may disagree with how he votes, and that's my right as a citizen. But I've had dinner with Brian. I've had lunch with Brian. I've had conversations with Brian. I was good friends with Mike Fitzpatrick, his brother. You know, I don't hate the guy. Okay, I don't agree with how he votes. I don't agree with what he stands for. That's my right as a citizen. He serves how he thinks he is right. I disagree with that. If I want to support a different candidate, that's my right. Okay. But I don't hate the guy. I don't disparage him. He's had me down to Washington. I've had conversations with him. He knows where I stand. He's been on my show. I've given him the opportunity to explain himself. And we can go back and forth, but I respect the guy. Okay. I do. I always have. Okay.
Well, it is funny because you know, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a big Trump supporter, and I'm not trying to act like I'm anybody important, but I don't know who's bigger in Bucks County supporting me. I've lost millions.
I don't know who else it would be either, Jim. But that's neither here or there. Yeah. I haven't lost. I'm a big Trump supporter, but I haven't lost millions of dollars like you have. So.
Yeah.
Well,
you're very
thank you. That being said. People give me a hard time saying, well, how are you friends with Brian Fitzpatrick? I said, well, I'm friends with him because I respect him. And do I, like you just said, Don, do I believe that every one of his votes he takes is what I would do? No. But I will tell you this, at the end of the day, when chips are down, he did have the president's back. People forget the fact that when the impeachment vote, and this is a story I don't think has been told enough, when the impeachment vote was going to happen, President Trump called Congressman Fitzpatrick, yep, and said, mm-hmm, that he wanted him to whip the votes. In other words, you know, get every Republican on board. And that was an important vote. And he went to a guy, Brian Fitzpatrick, that everybody says isn't a Trump supporter. Well, guess what? He got every single Republican to vote no against impeachment. And people don't know that. They don't understand it. They haven't heard it. But at the end of the day, the president, when he had to rely on someone to get that done, he went to Brian Fitzpatrick. So, you know, when the chips were down, he did do that. Now, will he not vote with certain things and sometimes vote with Democrats? Absolutely. But I do believe he does it from the heart, and he does what he thinks is right for his constituents. And so how do you hate a guy for doing what he thinks is right is beyond me. I mean, maybe you disagree with him, but you can't hate him
right.
for it.
So
but you're right.
I will share that story, and I will verify what Jim just said, because Dean Malik and I were in Brian's office when that happened in Washington.
Wow.
When President Trump asked Brian to bring the Republicans that were on the fence together. Brian had us down for the impeachment vote. We were there when that vote happened. And so that you're right. That story does not, you know, you can disagree with how Brian votes. You know, I do. Okay. But I don't hate the guy. And like you said, when the chips were down, who did President Trump call? Okay.
Right.
And he called Brian Fitzpatrick, and Brian delivered and got President Trump a unanimous vote against impeachment from the Republican Party. And I can,
yep.
and we,
well,
so.
Both of you have touched on one, and that's respect.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
And I know, Jim, both of you have touched on one thing, and that's respect. Jim has said it. Don, you have said it. And that's the way I feel, too. I will respectfully agree to disagree on Trump. There are people I've had conversations where I just can't believe that they don't. I want to say to them, open your eyes, or, you know, but I don't. I refrain and restrain myself and try to respectfully present the facts. And we're not going to change everybody's mind. You know that, Jim. I wish everybody I talked to I could turn into a Trump supporter. Well, that doesn't happen. But by doing whatever your side of the story is with respect and listening to them, you know, even though you disagree, I think you really represent the president in a better way as a respectful representation of somebody who supports Donald Trump. You're not some crazed person with crazed ideas, respectfully talking to somebody. And Don, you do the same. Jim, you do the same. I do the same. And that's the only way to kind of keep your own respect and keep your respect for the president.
Yeah, well, you have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror during the day. And it's like, it's interesting. I try to tell people, you need to understand the forces at work here. You know, I sent it to Jim last night, and we talked about it earlier when Doug was on the air. But Doug finally went public with the Jeffrey Yass situation, where Doug was offered a $10 million to denounce President Trump. Okay, and all he had to do was denounce President Trump, and he would get a $10 million donation from Jeffrey Yass's PAC to his gubernatorial campaign. You know, and Doug refused. You know, so again, but these are the forces that are at work. We've seen what they did, tried to do with Carrie Lake in Arizona, how they tried to bribe her. Okay, so there are other forces at work here that we need to understand.
There are. Now, here's some good news. So, Jim, you mentioned Predictit, the betting website, and there are, on Predictit, 12.5 million bets placed. And Donald Trump is predicted to be the winner at 48 versus 45 cents for Joe Biden. So he's ahead. The incredible trauma this country has been put under has been, you know, devastating to watch, but it is beginning to wake up more people. And I think stories like the ones you folks have been telling are just so important to get out there, and it's nice to hear them. And, you know, they are getting to more folks. But this message has to really be pushed harder to get through that firewall of hatred and this sort of weird anti-Trump cult that has been built over the last, 6 years. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, I think the economy and how, you know, prices have gone up through the roof have awoken people up to the fact that how good they had it when President Trump was president and how they're suffering right now, that people can't pay their bills, they can't feed their families. It's just, you know, ridiculous.
I can tell you one thing, though, and I agree with you, Don, but two things, if we don't resolve it, and not to switch gears, but if we don't get two things done, and Bunny, we were hoping to get somebody on from Chester County today. We had a phone call about what we're doing in Bucks County here in terms of a paid-for vote-by-mail program that both Fitzpatrick and I and a couple other people are putting together. I might as well tell you, Don, announced this Linda Mitchell, who you know well, who worked for me for 43 years. She's going to move over to a new group that we have, Vote for Bucks for Votes or something. I can't remember the name of the organization, but we just started it, and it's going to basically raise money, and she's going to be the executive director of this initiative where we're going to have all these different vendors supply, a Chase vote by mail Chase program with paid employees. And we have a budget of about $1.5 million, and we're going to institute it in Bucks County. And so we're tired of losing these races because of the vote by mail. And then on top of it, we want to expand it into the Southeast. Literally, I just got off the phone with two groups at 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, explaining it to them, some of the bigger donors and players in Bucks County and the surrounding areas. We want to be able to offer it to the other counties. Either they
take our model and replicate it. Or if they don't have the bandwidth, we can have Linda oversee that, and we can just raise more money and expand the vendor work into the other areas, of the Southeast. But make no mistake, the presidential race will be determined by how the margin, reducing the margin of loss in the Southeast for the president, reducing it, not winning it. If we can reduce it, he wins Pennsylvania. He's the next president of the United States. So, I mean, I don't know if Linda got somebody from Chester County on. I know she got somebody from Montgomery County on, but that's a new initiative. I wanted to tell you that we have started, and it's going to be, it's going to be fully budgeted. Let me ask Linda, what's the name of your group?
Bucks County Votes.
There you go. So, one of the things, and we only have a minute left, so I don't want to, we can continue this conversation. So one of the things that, although I agree that we need to close the gap on in the Southeast, and I do agree with that, and I also agree that we need to close the gap on the mail-in voting situation, but what we need to do is make sure that we're not transforming people that vote in person into mail-in votes, but instead giving the low-propensity voter a reason to vote, okay? Because our thing is, and we've talked about this on the show many times, it's not just the mail-in vote, but it's actually giving them a product to vote for. So, so in other words, I don't want to shift the in-person voting from the threes and the fours into mail-ins. I want to increase the mail-in voting from the zeros and the ones. And the only way you're going to do that is to generate excitement on the zeros, of the ones and the twos, not just putting a ballot in their hand, but giving them a reason to cast that ballot.
No, I agree. And that's part of we have four or five different silos here. And one of them is a micro-targeting group that basically identifies the zero ones and some of the twos, and finding out what makes them tick and what makes them want to vote. And then you come back with, they all work in conjunction to when you're now, getting them the information, knocking on them.
Door. Hey, Jim, we're out of time. I'm sorry. We'll have you on again. I want to thank everybody for listening to The Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. From Gary Heasley and myself, we'll see you guys next week. Oh, the red, white.